In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to the Leadership Academy, where we equip the chosen for their assignment. In each episode, we'll be sharing insight and wisdom that God has given us through our 22 years of pastoral ministry, and our goal is to equip you with the tools necessary to run faster and further, helping you to avoid common pitfalls so that you can make a greater impact for the kingdom. And I want to encourage you to share this broadcast with anyone you know who may be called to leadership, whether they are part of the fivefold ministry, a lay leader, or have some other ministry assignment. Because remember, if you're a leader, that means someone is following you. Well, tonight on the Leadership Academy, we're having a necessary conversation, one many leaders avoid having publicly, because this is one that is critical in the times we're living in. It is centered around Joshua's declaration in Joshua chapter 24, a statement that still confronts every pastor and leader today. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. See, because at the end of the day, every leader faces this reality. Yes. You will either lead at home or lose at home.
Man.
So tonight's conversation is simply titled, As for Me and My House, Guarding Your Family While Shepherding God's People. Because one of the greatest ironies in ministry is this: we can be faithful to God's house and careless with our own.
Yes, sir.
Steph, you and I have seen this over and over again. Leaders who genuinely love God and love God's people, but somewhere along the way, their families become casualties of ministry. We've seen spouses who feel unseen, children who feel unheard, while leaders think they're doing the right thing. And the enemy quietly exploits the gaps at home.
Yes. And most leaders, don't mean for that to happen. It doesn't start intentionally. It starts with being quote unquote needed.
Wow.
Then being needed slowly becomes an excuse. Tuck, you've always said, calling doesn't cancel responsibility. Why do you think leaders struggle to apply that truth at home?
Because anointing is powerful, but it becomes dangerous when it replaces accountability.
Yes, it does.
That's why every pastor needs a pastor. Mm,
yes.
Every leader needs a covering.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. One of the first things my pastor and my mentors ask me, you know, it's never about the platform. It's never about ministry. It's about my family. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I talk to my spiritual dad, you know, the first thing he asks me is, how's my daughter doing? You know, whenever I talk to, you know, Brother Ock, you know, or Dr. Cash, they ask me, you know, how's my sister doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and for years, it's always been that way. And that's one of the things that I've always had in the back of my mind, that because I know that that's one of the first questions they're going to ask me, I know I'm being held accountable for how I treat my wife. you know, for how I treat my family. They're going to ask me how my kids are doing. They're going to ask me what's going on with my family. And so because I know someone's holding me accountable, in the back of my mind, even if I ever had a slip, if that wasn't one of my first priorities, I always know somebody mm-hmm. is keeping me accountable for that. You know, the scripture makes it clear, if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Before God evaluates how we lead his people, he looks at how we lead our homes.
Yes.
Steph, what would you say to the leader watching who says, I love my family, but I'm tired, stretched thin, and overwhelmed?
Definitely to reevaluate your priorities. So many times we can get sucked into everybody else's agenda instead of focusing on the agenda of the household. And that in itself will help with feeling fatigued or stretched thin and overwhelmed.
Wow.
So one of the things we've all heard, right? The term PKs, used casually, but what people call a label is often a wound, because what leaders don't deal with personally often shows up generationally.
Yeah, absolutely. What we avoid confronting in ourselves doesn't disappear. It gets transferred.
Yes, it does.
The Bible says, train up a child, because children don't just hear what we teach. They absorb what we live. Oh, I believe I need to say that again.
Yes.
Children don't just hear what we teach. They absorb what we live. Whether it's resentment, neglect, or hypocrisy, those things are modeled long before they are recognized. You know, our assignment to our families is the same as it is to our congregations.
Yep.
And that is to represent Christ.
That's right.
But here's the big difference. Our families have a much larger sample size of our walk. They see the parts of us we forget to put away when we leave church. See, when we get ready to go to church, you know, we put on our best clothes, you know, we put on our best attitude, we speak our best grammar, you know, we put our best foot forward. You know that the saying goes, we put on our Sunday's best mm-hmm. when we go to church.
Yeah.
But when we go home, we take all that off. And our family sees the real us.
Yeah.
And see, your reputation is who people think you are. Your character is who you really are.
Ooh, that's, yes.
And your family absorbed your character.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who your children model. That's who your children become. And so that term, that label PK, comes from the fact that your children have become mm-hmm. a model of who you've been modeling before them. And that's not a good testimony. Because what it's saying is that even though their pastors, their children, their fathers or their mothers are preachers, evidently what they've modeled before them has not been something that has modeled Christ. Or their relationship has been something that has made them resentful toward God.
I was just going to say that.
And so now their behavior is now rebellious.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't necessarily mean that you're at home drinking and cursing and doing everything else. But right. if your relationship with them is not one that Christ would model, one of love, one of compassion, spending time mm-hmm. and attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they feel neglected, they may start to act out of resentment toward their relationship with God, because that was one of the first things God taught me. God said that as long as your children don't feel like they have lost you to me, they're not going to have an issue with me.
Right. That's right.
And that's one of the main things that we don't recognize that produces PKs, because they feel like they have sacrificed their mom or dad on the altar to God, and they didn't get anything in that sacrifice. They didn't get anything out of that deal. And so who would want a God like that, mm-hmm. that robbed them of their parent? Yeah. So you're going to tell them now, oh, yeah, you should love this Jesus. And they're like, why? Billy's dad gets to go to his baseball game.
Right.
You know, their mom gets to cook dinner and spend time with them. They watch movies together. They get to go to the park. They get to do all these things. But my mom and dad, they're always at church, and I'm always sitting over here in the corner, and I never get to have any fun. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that I should want that God? And so now you see them in this rebellious state because you said, oh, I'm serving the Lord. But no, you're neglecting the household that God gave you.
Yep.
And that's the problem. And so, see, we've neglected these parts of us. And they have now taken on that. See, the Bible tells us in Psalm 51, he says, you desire the truth in the inward parts. See, God isn't after image management. He doesn't care about the image that you're portraying for everybody else.
That's right.
He's after inward healing. Mm.
Yes. And unresolved issues show up in subtle ways, even when leaders are doing ministry right. For example, unresolved issues like anger or bitterness, their tone, the language, offense, my God, how much offense is in the body of Christ? Those things don't stay hidden. They come out.
And they affect your children.
Yep.
See, because your children learn God through you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to learn to show our children the love of God through our parenting.
Yeah.
See, it's okay to be firm, but we've got to learn to also be tender. Because our children don't experience God first through our sermons.
No.
They experience him through our tone, through our patience, through our presence. See, if the Bible says God is love, then they've got to experience him through our love. Because they'll only know the love of God through us. Mm-hmm. If the Bible says that God is our heavenly Father, then their earthly father has to be a representation of him. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 4, do not provoke your children to anger.
Right.
Steph, you've heard me say this often. Presence preaches louder than preaching.
Yes, Lord. It sure does. And practically, you know, that means your kids don't need perfection. They need consistency. They need humility, because many times our egos can get in the way and cause you to come across as arrogant, to where your children feel like they can't even get near you. So you have to be consistent. You have to be mindful of their needs at their certain developmental ages.
You know, and I know we're talking to pastors and leaders in the church, but this is for everybody. Understanding that that presence preaches louder than preaching.
Hmm.
I remember before I even got called into ministry, I was still an engineer, and one of the first things God said to me when my wife got pregnant, when my daughter was first born, I had a job at that point where I used to travel at least 2 weeks out of the month, sometimes three. I was on the road.
Yep.
And when my daughter was born, the first thing I did while she was still in the hospital, Kaya hadn't even come home from the hospital. Mm-hmm. She was still in neonatal intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed jobs.
Sure did.
I told God, I went to the Lord in prayer and I said, Lord, the Bible says that fathers are supposed to train up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. I said, I cannot do that if I'm not home every day.
That's right.
I need another job. And I put my resume on the street and God gave me another job. Sure did. Matter of fact, when I interviewed for the job, I wasn't even qualified for the job. Mm-mm. And God gave me another job I wasn't even qualified for, gave me more money. He blessed me because I honored what God honored, because I knew I needed to be a consistent presence in the life of my children.
That's right.
I wanted to be home every day and present in their life so that I could raise them in the training of the Lord, so that I could be a walking, consistent image and example for them of who Christ was.
Yeah.
They needed that consistency and that humility right there in front of them.
Yeah, sure did.
And that was before I ever got called into ministry. That was before I ever got, got to that place in ministry, because I was already a leader in my home.
He sure was. Still is.
See, one of the most powerful spiritual moments in a home is when a parent says, "I was wrong, and will you forgive me?"
Yeah.
See, that posture teaches grace is better than any sermon.
Mm-hmm.
See, walking this thing out in front of them allows them to see that I'm not bigger than the word. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the word for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be this living example for you.
Yeah, that's right.
See, what happens spiritually when a parent models repentance, it creates safety. It builds trust. It reveals Christ.
Yes, it does. You know, I just was thinking about that one time, you know, the girls, we make a point now, or we would have made a point to check in with them more. Of course, now that they were older, you know how you hear things later in life and it's like, y'all did what? So they shared some situations they experienced in church, and they didn't come to us because they thought we were too busy having to manage the leadership responsibilities and being there for everybody else. And they kept a lot of stuff to themselves. And I apologized because I said, Mama should have checked in with you more. Mama should have, you know, did this and that. And, you know, and I told them I was sorry for that because it really had affected them. And Pastor Tuck and I didn't know.
And the thing about it was, even in those things, we never told them these were things that they couldn't share with us. And exactly. And these were not things where we didn't spend time with and we didn't talk to them. They felt, because of them seeing us in these roles, they felt that they didn't want to interfere with the responsibilities that we had, because they saw the responsibilities and pressures that we had.
Yeah.
As children, they even see these things. And that's why we have to even be that much more intentional. We have to be that much more conscious of the things that they're going through. We have to be that much more aware of the pressures and things that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to be that much more in touch with our children.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so easy for the enemy to cause them to feel neglected. So we cannot put the church above our families, because they're already feeling pressure just for us being in that role.
Sure.
The enemy is already telling them, oh, you can't, Daddy's too busy for you, mm-hmm. even if you don't say that. So you can't be the one to say, I'm too busy.
Exactly. You make adjustments and say, you know, hey, I can make time for this. You know, I plan special things on Saturdays, because many times I had choir rehearsal on Saturdays, which caused me to be away from home 2 to 3 hours, you know. And as they grew up, I made a point, you know, we would go to the library or shoot the Dollar General or whatever. And it was intentional. It was an act of true intention that made them feel loved, made them feel special, and even made them excited. They look forward to that.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the thing. And it's like, it's certain things even now that we've learned and we could have done better.
Yeah.
Where it's like, when we have, as pastors, leaders, people from our congregation will call and we may be in the middle of a conversation with our children, mm-hmm. and we have to take a phone call. Well, our nature is to, I got to take this call, or we'll just take the call. But mm-hmm. we have to be mindful to say, okay, if I'm going to do that, then we have to let them know, oh, I'm in the middle of watching a movie with my child, to let them know this is family time. We have to let the other people know mm-hmm. our family is a priority.
Yeah.
And let our children hear that so that they know they are the priority. And then if we have to step away, come back and say, okay, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, but let me get back to you, to let them know that, no, yeah, I apologize. I may have had to step away, but let me let you know that what you were saying was just as important as what they were saying. Yep. Even though I may have had to step away for a moment, I'm coming back. Just like we would do any other kind of business meeting or anything else that we would have to do if we had to step out of a business meeting and come back in.
Yep.
Because that assures them that they have that much relevance. They have that much importance. Because if we don't, it sends a signal to them that this is more important than me.
Yep, they're minimized.
Yeah. And so that's how these things start to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't make sure that those things happen, then that's what the enemy starts to do. It starts to make them think they're second, they're third, they're fourth. And they start to find themselves in that place where they start feeling marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy starts to tell us that we're supposed to reprioritize things to the point that we start putting things above them in the system.
Yeah.
And after a while, we find out that we're neglecting our family. And then when the problems show up, we're trying to figure out how did that happen?
How did that happen? Yep.
But it's because we didn't prioritize properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to make sure that we do these things properly. Mm-hmm. See, because leadership requires structure at home.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
See, order is not control, it's coverage. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let all things be done decently and in order.
Mm-hmm. Boy, have we heard that statement many a time, right?
And it's always used out of context. It's always used improperly.
Yes.
It's always used because somebody's trying to hold on to some tradition that probably should have never been there in the first place.
Anyway, we can go on about that.
But God has order.
Yes, he does.
And God's order has been, you know, the family. God has made order his kingdom. It's supposed to be God, then marriage,
mm-hmm.
then children, then the church.
Yeah, that's right.
And so many people say, oh, that don't sound right. Yes, it does, because you have to understand that's how life was created.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
It was him. He created marriage, mm-hmm. then he created family, and then the church was created out of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't put the church above the family, because without the family, there would be no church.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, how do leaders establish healthy structure without becoming rigid or legalistic? Well, you know, it starts with intentional rhythms. I love that. Being intentional, purposeful, right? And it could be a simply family prayer, you know, just a basic prayer, nothing spooky or elaborate, you know, just a simple prayer. Conversations instead of lectures. Sometimes we had to check ourselves for that. Boundaries that protect, not isolate. And time for connection, rest, and reflection. See, structure creates space for relationship.
Yeah. And see, you have to understand these things are important, because you have to recognize what's at stake.
Mm.
You are guarding your legacy.
Yes.
Because the enemy isn't just after your ministry. He's after your bloodline. John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. As a matter of fact, Peter tells us, he says, stay alert, be sober-minded, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Yep. And you know, some of you may be wondering, how do I guard my home without becoming fearful or controlling? By staying present, not paranoid. My goodness. So much things going on now, people can become paranoid, but you have to stay present so that your family doesn't feel like you're operating in fear or control. And safe homes create honest conversations.
Yes. You got to be able to talk to your kids. You got to be able to let them know that these things are important. Mm-hmm. You got to talk to them about the Word of God. The Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, it talks about talk to them about the Word. When they lie down, when they get up, when the Word should be a normal flowing conversation in your house.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that my kids always know about me, if they ever had a problem, if there was ever a situation, it was always laced with the Word. Mm-hmm. Like he says, what does the Word say about it? I'm going to tell you what the Word says. Mm-hmm. They always know that's what you're getting out of daddy.
Yep.
The Word is all he got for you. I used to always tell my congregation this. I tell my kids this. I ain't got nothing but Bible and bubble gum, and I just chewed my last piece of that. So that's all you're getting out of me is the Word.
Yeah.
And so we got to understand that that's what it's for, because the Bible says that the Word is for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm trying to make sure that you are thoroughly equipped for life.
Yeah.
That's the purpose. That's my purpose, is to equip you for everything, to make sure that you are equipped for everything. So if that's the case, I should always be giving you the Word. My conversation with my wife, I don't care what it is, whether it was work or whether it was relationship with her friends or family, it's Word, because that's what it tells me. As a husband, I'm supposed to be washing her with the water of the Word. I'm constantly supposed to be having that conversation.
Yeah.
It's not my opinion. It's not how I feel. I'm not supposed to engage in your emotions. My thing is to give you the Word.
And not that he's neglecting the emotion. He doesn't allow you to dwell there. And the only way you don't dwell there is by the Word pulling you out.
Exactly. Because the Word answereth everything.
Yes.
And that's what we have to understand.
Yep.
It answereth everything.
Everything.
And so we've got to stop this thing of thinking, oh, no, that's just for church. No, it's everything.
Yep.
And when we have these honest conversations, and when we're applying the Word in every situation, we start to see that this is the case.
Yeah.
That's why he said, as for me and my house, this is how we're going to do things. We're going to serve the Lord. He says, seek ye first the kingdom.
Yes.
And his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all these things will be added. Mm-hmm. Every other thing that you need, every other thing that you're looking for, every other thing that's necessary, he said, God will take care of all of that.
Yeah.
But because we have a relationship with God, he said, the Gentiles, he said, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, all these other issues, people who don't have a relationship with God, they're worried about all that stuff.
Right.
He said, but we seek the kingdom. And that's why it's our assignment as pastors and leaders to lead our homes according to the Word.
It has to be done.
But we have to start in our home, because otherwise the enemy will make a mockery of you and your ministry.
My God, we've seen that happen many times. You know, pastors whose children have fallen, and, you know, it totally doesn't match what you think are their lifestyles. But because there were things that were placed before the children, meaning ministry, doing things for the community and et cetera, but not taking care of the home, it ended up backfiring.
And let's say this, because I don't want anybody walking away from this in condemnation either.
No.
Because you can do everything right and your children still fall.
You got to. True.
Because they have an adversary. They have the enemy. And he's out there, and he's out there trying to get you. So you have to understand that.
Yeah.
So please understand that.
Yes.
So many people fall into that place where they're feeling, condemned and feeling like, oh, my God, I'm horrible because my kids fell and this, that, there, and the other. Well, you have to understand, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, was the perfect father, and his kids messed up. So what did he do wrong? Nothing. So it doesn't matter. So you can't take responsibility for your children falling. Yes. The key is you don't want to be the reason they fail.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
So you don't want to your be responsibility is to govern your household well.
Yes.
And see, this isn't about becoming super spiritual overnight. It's about refusing passivity. Joshua didn't hesitate when he said, "As for me and my house." Mm-hmm. See, leadership starts with a decision.
So if we could challenge you with one simple step this week, start with a conversation, not a correction.
Sit down and talk to your kids.
Yeah.
Find out where they're at.
That's right.
Make sure that you're constantly making sure that you know where their head's at.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you know where they're at with their walk with Christ.
Yep.
Make sure you know where they're at with their faith.
Yes. Yep.
Because it doesn't make sense that you're leading all these people and you're not leading in your home.
Right.
You failed your assignment. Mm-hmm. Because he said that in order to lead his church, you got to first lead your house.
Yes.
So if that's the case, you're not even qualified for the assignment. See, you got to take one action step. You got to have one prayer focus. And you got to have one heart posture. And that is, I'm going to lead my family first.
Yep.
I'm going to choose to lead.
Choose to lead as a choice.
As for me and my house.
Yeah.
And watch this. When your household is following you, it makes it so much easier for your congregation to.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, you better hear what I just said. I'm trying to help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I always tell people when I tell them, if you're looking for a church, the two things you want to look at first when you're praying and asking God, is this the church for you? The first thing, look at the relationship between the pastor and his wife.
Yeah.
Because if she's sitting over there looking at him side eye while he's preaching, then you already know he ain't living what he's preaching. Something is off. As my daddy used to say, there's a dead cat on the line somewhere. Something is wrong. And so you ought to question, okay, there's an issue here.
Yeah.
Because if she got a problem with him and she go home with him every day, I ought to have a problem.
Yep.
Because there's some hypocrisy coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says what gets the anointing on the head flows down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to sit under some hypocrisy anointing.
That's right.
The other thing said that his children ought to follow him with all submission. So if he got a bunch of PKs running around, that ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
So those are the two things that you ought to be looking at when you're looking at where you should be planted. And so once again, that ought to tell you something.
Mm.
So that's why I say as leaders, when you invest in your home first, it actually speaks for your ministry.
That's right.
Because it says, hey, watch this. You would not pull up to the Nissan dealership and the salesman trying to sell you a 2026 Nissan and he's driving a 74 Ford.
Fix or repair daily.
You'd be like, I think I might want to go down the road. I might want to talk to another salesman.
Pass that.
Because if you don't buy the, if you're not buying the product you're selling me, then I'm not sure I want to buy it.
That's right. Why would you?
Because you don't believe in your own product.
That's right.
So once again, that's the whole testimonial of the products that he's selling. See, one of the reasons why I tell people you ought to watch Marriage Seer Training is because you look at my marriage.
Yep.
See, that's the thing. I tell people you ought to watch Women of Worth because you look at her husband. Look how happy he is. Yeah. You ought to watch The Man Cave because you look at my wife. Look how happy she is.
Yep.
See, these are the things. If you can see the fruit from the seed that I'm sowing, then you ought to want some of that.
Yeah.
And that's how you ought to say, Is this the ministry I want to be tied to? And that first shows from their home, because I told you, they get the largest sample size. Mm-hmm. And that's why as pastors and leaders, we ought to be like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm getting a harvest at home. Because that's going to tell everybody else. That's going to be a certain sign to everybody else.
Yeah.
That this works.
Yep.
That this product right here, this is the one that the Lord has led them to. And now they can say, okay, I can follow that. Because that's leadership. And so that's why we've got to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. We've got to take that action step. We got to have that prayer focus. We got to have that heart posture. Okay. We've got to make that choice to lead. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray our way out. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and pray, Pastor Emily.
Father, restore what has been strained in our homes. Heal what have been neglected or what we have neglected. Lord, give us the courage to lead with humility, consistency, and love. Let our families not be casualties of the calling, but carriers of the legacy. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for all carriers of legacies, because, Lord God, you established legacies in us to be able to share with someone else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. We pray you've been blessed by this. And if you've been blessed by this or any of the ministries here at My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, this assignment that we have to help share the gospel with the world, you can help us by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $MyChurchChannel, or you can visit our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. We have all kinds of ministries here available. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got Women of Worth. We've got the Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training. We've got Heart of the Pastor. And then on Sundays, we've got three dynamic ministries that come on Sunday morning for you to get different worship. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, and we've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. Mm-hmm. But our job is to make sure that we have equipping you with the tools necessary to become the well-rounded believer that God desires you to be. And so if you want to help us carry out the vision that God has given us to be the bridge between you and Christ, to help the ministry grow, sow a financial seed. You can sow your tithe, your offering, your seed, and just know we'll be good stewards over it.
Please.
But know that you are growing the kingdom of God.
Yes, you are.
You're helping people find Christ.
Yeah.
And so we thank you. We love you. God bless you. Make sure you share this with somebody you know who needs it. Because I'm sure you know somebody who do. And make sure you come back and see us again on next time. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is Pastor Stephanie. God bless you. We love you. And stay tuned for our announcements. Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
The scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.